Martha Novak, and I'm so glad to be back with you. I don't know what to do. I hope you're out there, so let me know, because it's been quite the month away from you. I moved. We are in a new location, adorable little thing behind us. We have not finished decorating. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm living in a storage room, which is my office, by the way. But we've had no place to put all of our pictures that we got out of a pod and all that, so they're all piled up, little piles on the floor. Oh, my Lord, so much to do. Anyway, I am enormously glad to be back with you. I'm going to have loads of fun. We are not going to have to step away for a while. So, well, hello. That was wonderful. Anyway, I am really glad to be... I don't know what that beep is. I have no idea. Anyway, I'm awful glad to be back with you today. It has been a little journey trying to get on the air because everything... Oh, hello, Ronald. Oh, honey. Hello. I'm so glad to see you. Thank you for checking in with me. It's so nice to be back on the air. Anyway, I moved from house to house. And while every move is stressful, just to catch you all up, because really this has a bearing on today, by the way. I moved from next door to next door. Isn't that odd? First time that ever happened to my real estate agent, too. He said, oh, my God, this is so wild. We sold our house the same day we bought this one. We closed the same day, and we had a lot to do. Oh, hello. Oh, Pat. Oh, you're such a mess. Happy holiday to you and yours, too, my darling. We are all fine, Ron. We really are. I look a mess because I haven't slept for a month, but other than that, I'm doing fine. We are still on our lake. As I said, we moved from house to house. However, it came up so fast, and there was so much to do, and we did not know where we were going when we sold our other house, right, a year ago, or a year and a half ago. Yes, thank you, darling. Thank you, Ronald. We didn't know where we were going, so we kept a lot of my furniture, you know, my family furniture. I ended up having to give it away, sell it all, you know, get rid of it all, because we had so many pods, and our dear neighbors, who were very close friends of ours, and this all came up so fast, right? Came up so fast. We didn't have time to prepare, and I'm not complaining, but it just came up really fast. So anyway, it's been a very stressful month. So we are now back. I am back to work this week, too, on private clients and a radio show, and I'll soon be starting my classes, and life is getting back to normal. So I'm thrilled. By the way, the dog behind me was a gift from our former the sellers of this house. And I don't know whether you all can see the words, but they loved dogs, and it says in French, friends for life, which I just love. So I confiscated that from my office because I love animals, as many of you all do. We're going to talk about something today, which I think is just vital. It is vital. However, it's subtle. And it is about giving thanks, because we just came out of Thanksgiving. I don't know when a lot of you all, and I'm addressing people who are not listening right now, are going to be listening to the show. But this is not about our holiday, Thanksgiving. That's wonderful, and it's a nice reminder to get back on track, I think. But this is about the attitude of Thanksgiving, what it does for us, and mainly... Here's something interesting. What we do when we don't feel it. Okay? What we do when we don't feel grateful. Because it's actually a health problem. It's not only a health problem mentally and emotionally, it's also a health problem physically, and it's also certainly a health problem spiritually, because if everything is energy, and I'm going to show you how all that works today, if everything is energy, then Thanksgiving is right at the center of it to complete a loop, a metaphysical cosmic loop that we've got to have if we're going to have a nice life and create what we want. So please keep listening today. Again, I think a show like this seems real subtle, and we go, oh, Thanksgiving is going to be another, you know, thing from the pulpit. Actually, it's not. So stay tuned, okay? Let's do a quick prayer. Get us all on the same page. Hey, Jay! Yep, the attitude of gratitude. That's what we're talking about. And all the doors, it opens for you. Let's do a prayer and get us all on the same page. It's me really getting on the same page with you. And let's get going, okay? Dear God, thank you so much for all of this, for everything we have in our lives right now. Even the things we want changed, even the things we want opened up, even the things that are changing even as we speak and making us a little wobbly. Deepen us in our faith of you, our knowledge of how all of this works. Show us that. Let something click today with all of us that we may absolutely see your grace and the awe of the system, and that we work within it, and it works through us if we let it. We thank you so much, dear God. We open ourselves now to see, hear, sense, and know what you would have us do as we open to the truth that lies in your enlightenment. And we thank you so much for all of this, and we are grateful for it all. And so it is. Amen. Pat, I'm laughing inside because you said my undisclosed location. You know darn well where we are because you wrote me one time and said, woo, what a pretty picture, right? Where is this? I told you. So there you go. No, I'm not too undisclosed, guys. A number of years ago, when I was very young, so it was quite a number of years ago, I was in a very unhappy situation in a college I didn't like very much. I went there because it was tradition and my family, yeah, wrong thing to do, right? And I was unhappy. I was incredibly unhappy. And a little book came into my hands, and I don't remember how. I probably picked it up at a bookstore, maybe. Or maybe someone gave it. I don't think anybody gave it to me. I don't know where I got this book. But it is a book with a lot of irony because it was written by a minister, a Methodist minister. I looked him up. He has now passed. His name was Merlin Carruthers, Carruthers. And he wrote a book called Prison to Praise. Now, the significance of this book, and the reason I want to start with it today is he started out, I believe, as a juvenile delinquent or something, as I remember. I haven't read this book in a really long time. In fact, it's gone out of my hands. But as all things that should matter to you do, something has stuck to the brain pan all these years. He was visited, he believes, and I believe too, by God, in the jail cell, wherever he was, and God told him to praise him for his circumstance. Unheard of. And the interesting thing is we never think of praising God, i.e., being grateful to God for whatever circumstance we're in, do we? We just want to get out of it, you see? That's what the ego child's mind does. It wants to get out of it. It's like a kid. I always have this image in my head. A lot of times, we're like a little kid whose back is in a corner, right? And there are all of us around the kid saying, come on, darling, take my hand. Come on with me. Come on with me. Which I feel is the energy of the universe in many cases. And we are kicking and screaming and crying and will not take that hand. I think that is something we all do. Oh, we've got so much to talk about with this. Ideas are just ricocheting around my mind. I just can't wait to dive in. So here we go. Merlin Carruthers, the minister, made a lifetime career out of the information that he received in that jail cell, which was praising God in every circumstance. And tonight, today, we're going to talk about, because I don't remember what he said and whether he ever really put all this together. I'm sure he did. He was a very smart man. And you can find him on YouTube. I have not yet listened to his YouTube channels, but I saw that he had some on there. God bless him. You know, he was a good guy. And he had a marvelous listening experience, marvelous supernatural experience in that jail cell that I think can benefit us all. Praising God in every circumstance. Now, you'll see me, here I am doing a show on that giving thanks, right? Not just, I hate to use the word Thanksgiving because it sounds like the holiday. And yet his book is entitled Prison to Praise. Guys, the reason I'm not using the word praise, and I have no problem with it, but I think praise is one of those overused terms that nobody knows what it means. It's a little fuzzy. Praise. Praise. The gratitude, you understand. You've been in and out of it your whole life. And I think that's a humongous part. Hello, Becky. Hello, Shelley. Oh, all you dears. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Becky's in Minnesota. Oh, bless your heart. Well, bundle up. We're having to bundle up here, too, even though it's a little warm for this time of year. It's still cold. I love that. I love the fall. So gratitude is something that we all understand. I mean, after all, this is tends to be a reciprocal society. I invite you to my birthday party. Your mama makes you invite me to yours. You know, we have been trained to say thank you when somebody gives us a gift. Our mothers made us do that. Well, there's a reason. It's not just niceties. That may have been where they came from. I don't know. But, oh, my Lord, they were right. And it does so much more. And we've got several channels that we're going to go down now. Okay, so try to follow me, and I don't mean to imply that you might not follow me, except I might not be as clear as I need to be, so certainly question me if I'm not, because what I'm trying to do is tell you the psychological benefits of this, tell you how to get over ingratitude, if indeed you feel that way, and then also cover the metaphysical aspects, the energetic aspects about why you want to do this for manifestation, okay? For being able to create the life you want. Now, I was telling you I had moved, but I'm going to tell you the secret to my move right now, okay? Because I did, in the beginning, I did everything that most people do. Now, I live on a lake, and as you know, sometimes lake property is scarce. Our lake, it's certainly scarce. When COVID happened, everybody moved up here thinking it was safe. It was a little safer than a city, for example. But people were buying property from Zillow or from someplace sight unseen. They had not even come to this property. And they bought it. What? You can imagine it was scarce. for the last 2 or 3 years, when my husband would go and I would go out and we'd ride around looking for something, it was never what we wanted. The houses were way too expensive for us, or poorly constructed, or something was always wrong. And there was hardly anything even in our price range, you know? I'd go out, and I would drive around the lake, and I would say, oh, you know, I could take any of these houses. I mean, a modern house, a rustic house, a log cabin, a this, a that, you know, because there are a lot of different things on the lake. I want you to see that I was dividing my energies. We have to be very specific. I'm starting with this because I really want you to get that gratitude and, more important than that, surrender is part of all this, okay? It occurred to me after a few months of finding nothing that what I needed to do was talk to God about bringing me and my dear husband the perfect house for us. The perfect house for us. That God knew what was perfect for us, while I did not. I liked everything. Now, that's really important. But there's an element of surrender in that, isn't there? Because what the ego child's mind wants to do is say, God doesn't know what I want. God may, you know, take this away from me and this and this and this. Here's interesting, something interesting. Yes, I ended up giving away, selling, getting out of here, a lot of my family furniture. First of all, dears, everything physical outlives its usefulness. Not people. I happen to believe that we're all here for a reason if we're breathing on this earth. But stuff, okay? The second thing is, what I didn't take into account at one time was that I could love a house and the furnishings that came to me in that house more than I loved my old stuff and my old traditions. I had no concept. I didn't know. So that indeed happened. When I surrendered to God and the perfect thing, that God knew what was perfect. And by the way, I did so need to downsize. I did. I gained so much because I liked it better than what I relinquished. Do you understand? We don't know everything in our brains. We go, oh my God, and we're so fear-based, you see, that it was really easy for me to say, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, you know, God will take away something I want. If I ask for the perfect house, he may give me a little postage stamp of a house. Oh, come on. You know what that is? At least it is in me, and I would guess it is in you. Drama. Stop. Stop with the drama. We all need to stop with the drama. Because the essence of being grateful is surrender. And I will talk to you about this in the body of this talk, but here's the important part. Surrender is beyond you. It's not about you anymore. It's about you in the firmament of something else. In my estimation, it's all God. It's all energy. And it's about what is the best thing then. The perfect thing then. Not perfect in the way that ego child's mind says perfect, which is everything is just perfect and doesn't hurt worth a flip, right? No, it hurt to give away all my family furniture. It also made me feel good because of who I gave it to. Guys, it was all perfect. Okay. I urge you, when you are creating, to use that element of surrender that says, I don't know what's perfect for me, but God does, and therefore I create perfection. I am open to that. You and God are one. You're the aspect of God you are, you see? So going back to how I started this show, Prison to Praise, Merlin Carruthers, he is absolutely right. This move was very painful and very wonderful. And the whole time I tried to stay in that gratitude, in that praise of everything. As I said, the word praise overused a lot, but we all understand gratitude. I was being given an enormous gift. Was it painful sometimes? Yeah. Was it still perfect? Yeah. The whole point is to go with. Now, guys, I struggle just like you do. I'm no different from you. All right? But I am following what I wrote about in my book, The Life You Want. In that, there are several chapters on manifestation. You manifest in the present, for example. It's not out there in the future. I knew there was a house right here for us. And I was open to it, the perfect house being revealed. But please accept what I'm saying in this one aspect. You don't know what's perfect. The ego child's mind does not know what's perfect. It just knows what it wants. And sometimes it wants things that the child wants. We don't want that anymore. We want something more. But we block the more because we're going, oh, God's going to take us someplace we don't want to go. You don't know that. And that never happens, and it can't, because God's a God of more. God knows you because God is all you are, unless you're playing a game with yourself, which we all do, right? Okay. Now, that was the first thing I wanted to put on the table. The second thing I want to put on the table is it's very important to be grateful for everything before you see it come to fruition, before you see it manifested. Because it has manifested in energy, because it can't happen if it's not in energy, and you're creating the energy. You're creating the space for it. You understand? You're creating that space. So let's do it well. You must be grateful before anything can come into the physical. Energy it has to have a potential for it. You know, that's the reason you and I have talked about, that's the reason for our issues, isn't it? Because our issues are the negative, selfish side of the positive side that we carry within us as God's love, as God's generosity and beneficence and kindness and altruism. Everything is a duality. But if the ego and the ego child's mind did not exist in its selfish aspects, we would never have the fodder to be more. And you do. You're on that journey. Here we are, together. Okay. As long as we're talking about energy, before I go into other things, I want to say that gratitude completes a loop. If you'll think just in terms of energy, you know, Einstein said energy is neither created nor destroyed. So energy has always been. So you are energy. you work within an energetic system, call it God or whatever you're going to call it, it's energy. It isn't born. Energy has always been. So the whole point of energy is to keep it going, right? That's what energy does. Now, okay, so when I talk about a loop, we want, okay, we are energy, God is energy, we're all one thing, energy. We want, we get, unless we stop it. Now, I'm not talking about stopping it, I'm talking about keeping it going. We want, we get through God's beneficence because we want, it is attracted to us, we give thanks, we get more. That's the way it is. However, there's a caveat, and that is, if you leave out surrender, if you leave out the spiritual aspect of this, you're just simply not going to do this very well. The more you open consciousness, the more you are trusting of this energy to work for you. If you want to read more about this, read Joseph Murphy's book, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. Great book. The more you use this energy, the easier it becomes. Why? Because you are deepening in consciousness. You're getting past the ego child's mind. I'm going to say one other thing to you before we dive down into some more work, which is, what if you're not grateful? What if you're not grateful? By the way, I do want you to know that that is one of the most unattractive qualities in the world. And you can be mad as hell with your fists in the air with me saying that to you, but it's true. We are attracted as a society, as a world society, to grateful people. Because grateful people are people that think of us as well as themselves. Isn't that something? Ungrateful people are people that really think exclusively of themselves. Need to be right. Need their ideologies that support selfishness. Someone who is, let's say you are someone who has worked with trying to be grateful, but you're just not. There is nothing wrong with you. Is that shocking? There's nothing wrong with you. What it shows me as somebody who works with energy and energy psychology is that you're just not seeing. You're just not aware. We've got some work to do on your awareness and your ability to see you for who you really are. Because ego child's mind is saying you're one thing and you're believing it, and that's not true. It's coming from the appearances that you thought were true in your childhood. Now, I pulled some interesting articles. It's interesting because keep in mind that what we're here to do is talk about consciousness, right? And deepening of consciousness, being more aware, the triad to enlightenment being awareness to consciousness to enlightenment. Okay, that's what we're here to do. But a lot of the articles, you know, on the internet are there just to make your life better, and I think it's marvelous, but they don't tell you how to do anything, you see? They just say, oh, your life's better if you'll do this. Well, it will be. I got all sorts of proof in these articles. But how do you do it? Hang on. Being thankful is interesting. And praise is interesting. I'm going to put it in the same category here for a minute because we go through life and we celebrate Thanksgiving and we eat turkey and we do all that. But who are are we giving thanks to? Oh, we can say, I'm grateful for my new house, and boy, howdy am I. But is that really all of it? Or is that part of it? And in what aspect is it part of it? Okay. One of the things I think is so powerful about gratitude is that it is, use the word again, surrender. The reason I'm recommending the power of your subconscious, not the power of your subconscious mind, although I am recommending it. The reason I'm recommending my book, and sorry for being so blatant about it, but here I am, The Life You Want, is because of this. There are three aspects to doing this really well and creating a wonderful life for yourself. There are three aspects, not one, not just the power of your subconscious mind. If you're going to really do this well, if you're going to really have it be your life, then it is about creating this as your potential, as your energy, as the energy you live in on a daily basis. So there are three aspects that I wrote about in that book. Number one is manifestation, enjoy yourself. But number one is spiritual surrender. And actually, that's number two. Number one is, who is God? Who is God? What is God? What is God? Thinking differently than we came into this world in our childhoods and we were trained in the church, and maybe we weren't. Okay, we were all trained in a lot of different ways. The fact of the matter is, and the fact doesn't change, that God, or energy, or whatever you want to call it, has always been there, and we're not using it very well. There's the bottom line. Find out who this is. Find out what this is. Let's use it well. So that's one of the aspects of this book that's really important. Second aspect is trusting that enough. How do you trust that enough? Well, getting the ego child's mind out of the way that says, I'm the only one that can create anything you want. I'm the only one, the way you're alive. I'm the one that has kept you safe all along. Bull hockey. That's not true. People are going to their deathbeds and have been for eons expecting their ego to save them from death, and the ego child's mind and the ego has never saved them. It's an illusion. What has saved them is the energy that we're talking about right now, and it will save you still, because you're not going to die. Life goes on in a different way, in a different aspect, in a different reality. The reality that's always been, that you can still tap into, if you'll give yourself a chance. Okay. Showing your appreciation. One of the things that I love about being thankful and showing your appreciation is an automatic thing it does for you. You know what that is? You don't think about yourself anymore. It's about somebody else. You can be grateful to grandma for cooking a great pecan pie. You can be grateful to your friends who are around the table. You can be grateful for your new house and your new car and your new love and your new job, and keep going. Okay? But what you are grateful for, the essence of that, that's very powerful no matter what you're grateful for, is the fact that it's about somebody other than you. And when you're grateful to God, the God I'm talking about, it's the aspect of God you are, the system in which you really are working, whether you are aware of it yet or not, is worthy of all gratitude, all praise because of the magnanimous, incredible, supernatural power it brings into your life. It does bring a supernatural power into your life. So what do you do if you're not particularly grateful? Huh? Well, you become more aware. You have to become more aware of a lot. Who God is. Who God is the aspect that you are. Who you are. What your talents, gifts, and abilities are. The awareness of more. You see, most people see the lack. They see what they don't have. Not what they're capable of having. Not the fact that they have all the tools inside energetically and many other ways. That's really important, guys. You've got to have an awareness. An awareness of all the things I've just talked about. And an awareness of more. A more attitude. God is an infinite and ever-expanding set of truths always in motion. Infinite and ever-expanding. What in the world makes you think you're going to have less rather than more of what you love? It is the ego child's mind that you were trained with. It's deceiving you. It's not true. And you need to go on a search, on an experience, on a quest to find out what's really true. Wow. If you're hearing this, you can call us. Get on my website. We'd love to hear from you. Number two, you've got to recognize your negative attitudes. Now, a lot of times, negativity comes from being incredibly, chronically disappointed as a youngster. And if that happened to you, it happened to most people, I'm sorry. It was supposed to be there because it's the thrust to something more, but not if you indulge in it every time. We indulge in it every time. We say, aha, see, the world is like this. Now, it's not necessarily a conscious thing. This can be a subconscious thing, but it makes us feel even safer when the world is like we thought it was when we were kids. Full of bull, full of lack, full of grasping and working hard for things and failing. Being chronically disappointed in ourselves and others. Oh, come on, guys. The other side of it is, do you want to believe it or not? Your life is going to reflect what you believe here. I mean, that's the bottom line. Thoughts are things. I mean, it's true. What do you believe most of? Well, if you don't know what you believe most of, and science says, and you can read this in The Power of Your Subconscious, in my book, The Life You Want, science has shown that smart people, of which you are, think 1,000 thoughts an hour. Do you know where those 1,000 thoughts were and went, positive or negative? Well, if you don't, you're going to have some trouble with this because you got to wake up. That's awareness. You got to wake up and realize what you're thinking and why you're thinking it, and then work with someone like me or someone. There are millions of people out there that do all sorts of things like this. To change that. I have a story about this. Years ago, I was working with a man who came in and he was terribly upset. And he said his business all of a sudden was in a very bad neighborhood. The neighborhood had gotten terrible. He couldn't even walk from his car to the door of his office without being approached by gang members and people trying to sell them drugs and people who had weapons. It was scary. Something else was going wrong. He had a very old house that was on a hill, and it was falling off the hill. And it was going to cost an awful lot of money to fix it. And he was just despondent. Everything was negative, by the way. He didn't have enough money to fix anything, right? Or to move. So we worked on him creating something better. We worked not on him creating something better. That's rather an erroneous thing to say. We worked on his attitude about things. We worked on him enough. So in 3 months, within the 3 to 4 month period, he came in even more depressed. I said, "What in the world is wrong?" And he said, "Well, someone has come along and wanted to buy my land and the place my business is on, and they're offering me a tremendous amount of money." And I said, "What in the world is wrong with that?" And he said, "Oh, my, I'm going to have to go find another place to move. Oh, my God, it's not as easy as it sounds." And I said, "What of your house?" And he said, "Well, I've got the money to fix it up." And I said, "Well, that's great, isn't it?" And he said, "Oh, no, it means that it's going to take from 6 to 8 months for them to, you know, whatever they do, hitch up the house so that it's on the hill again and put a firmer foundation, and I'm going to have to move for 6 to 8 months." Do you see something wrong with this? He was able to create something wonderful for himself, but he still didn't realize what he had. He didn't realize it because it didn't maybe come to him the way he wanted it to, if he even wanted it to, because I think he was so caught in his own negativity. But we had moved out enough so that it was a little glimmer, something came through for him. Guys, don't be like this guy. Wake up. Wake up. Go with. Go with. Keeping a positive attitude has everything to do with everything. What do I mean by that? Well, to be in the mindset of abundance. Because you're either in the mindset of abundance or you're in the mindset of lack. Where do you think that came from? One is the ego child's mind, lack, the belief in lack, and one is the higher self mind, which sees nothing but abundance. Everything will be all right in the end if it's not the end. If it's not all right, it's not the end, is what I want to say. Everything will be all right in the end. It's not all right. It's not the end. Keep the energy going. Know how it's going to work out because God's right here. God's working it out. Don't be so earthbound that you only say, I knew it would all fall apart. It isn't about that. It's about keeping it going, keeping the attitude going, keeping the abundance going, keeping your knowledge of how God works going in your own life. Okay. Number three, you've got to go on and, what do I want to say? Put your money where your mouth is, metaphorically or literally. In other words, make the most of your talents, your gifts, and your abilities. They're in you. Your talents, your gifts, your abilities. Exploit them. Go take a class. Go take a whole bunch of classes. Go find out who you are. And a lot of times that people are depressed and people that are ungrateful, they have shown clinically, are depressed a lot of times. Why? I'll tell you right now. about living your potential. That's where your fulfillment lies. That's where it is. When you're using all of you, you aren't depressed anymore. Find out who you are. If your job doesn't satisfy you in that way, you've got to do some other things on the side that do. Or you need to find another job that uses more of you. But you've also got to make yourself a commodity. So go on and take some classes. Go on and study this. Go on and know something better that you do really well. And number four. You want to start living in honor of yourself and others. What does that mean? I think that when you are positive and when you are grateful, you take better care of things. You take better care of what you've got. You take better care of you, of your friends, of everything. I just think there's a caring quality that's not there in ingratitude. You're just trying to endure when you're ungrateful. And number five, you got to appreciate what you have. Now, that's interesting because everybody I know who I work with, who is in the ego child's mind when they first come in, all say, I don't want to celebrate what I have because God won't know that I want more. God won't know that I want more. God is a God of more, and God is all you are. Come on. Your attitude about God needs to grow up. God starts being real trustworthy when your idea of God grows up. But when we're caught in that little girl, little boy mindset, God doesn't. It's like, what? You got to write a letter to Santa Claus? God isn't Santa Claus. God is energy. God is all you are. Get out of the way. Work the energy well. That's what we're asking you to do, you see? Okay. So those are little Martha Novak's pieces of advice. Now let's go into why you want to do this. Because if I haven't given you enough reasons, if they've been too metaphysical, let's go into some other things. Gratitude improves your physical health. Did you know that? A recent study examining the pathways between gratitude and self-rated physical health across adulthood, it was in a magazine called Personality and Individual Differences, they found a strong link between physical health and gratitude. This study analyzed 1,000 different people. They discovered that grateful people experience fewer aches and pains, feel healthier than others, exercise more often, and are more likely to consult a doctor with health concerns. Ah, there's something interesting about this to me, especially in relationship to Merlin Carruthers' Imprisoned Praise. You have to be out of pain before you're grateful for everything. How about being grateful for the pain? How about being grateful for everything, even if it doesn't feel good? Ha! See, now that flies in the face of the kid that says everybody's got to feel good, and that's when God's there, and I got to get good stuff, and that's when God's there, and when I don't have it, God's not there. You see, our idea of God's got to grow up. Because why isn't this whole experience of living, the good, the bad, the painful, the extraordinary, the joy, the creativity, the lack of creativity, why isn't it one big, wonderful thing? Guys, that doesn't come from the ego child's mind. An idea like that comes from the higher mind. How do you get to the higher mind? Get the ego child's mind out of the way. Let it transmute and change into something else as we release you from those old things that are holding you, their fixations. Psychology doesn't tell you what a fixation is. You know what it is? It is energy. It doesn't just happen in the mind. It's not just a little stuck something in the mind. No, it is energy that is stuck. That's what a fixation is. Let's unstick it. It's energy. It can be moved. Your mind can change. But every time you use an issue, here's the interesting word, it gets embedded. It grows deeper. You have convinced yourself mentally and emotionally that you need to use it every time. So let me tell you, I earned my job. I mean, I earned my money because we've got to stop that. I've got to convince you otherwise over a period of time. You're capable of a lot more. Number two, these are all the benefits that we're talking about here of gratitude. You have better psychological health. In the aforementioned study, attributes of greater physical health contributed to, and I think it maybe works both ways, I don't think that physical health underlies greater psychological health. I think they are intermixed. So here I am saying, well, not so much. Okay. But they found that everybody had improved psychological health with gratitude, too. That's the bottom line here, isn't it? Psychological health makes individuals more likely to engage in healthy activities, right? Eating right, exercising, connecting with friends and community. They also found that these people sought medical help when needed, not when not needed. This, by the way, that I'm taking this from is called an article that is called The Psychology of Gratitude, Six Benefits of Being Thankful, This Thanksgiving. And it was updated. I don't know what the original article was. And it was written by Taylor Bennett. So let me give her credit for writing the article. Number three, studies have found that when you're grateful, you sleep better. What? You sleep better. Gratitude influences sleep through the mechanism of pre-sleep cognitions. Most grateful participants had better sleep quality, were able to fall asleep faster and more easily, and also felt less tired during the day. There are benefits to opening God. There are benefits to surrender. You see? Again, it's not just about gratitude. It is about knowing who God is, number one. Number two, and surrendering to that. Okay. Number three, seeing what's around you. Seeing what's in you. Come on, guys. Number four, benefit. It can help you foster new relationships. It certainly is good for old relationships, too. Showing gratitude makes others perceive you as a good potential friend and more likely to actively and they are more likely to actively seek out a friendship with you. That's something. Don't forget to thank people for the smallest things, opening in the door for you, doing a small favor, smiling at you across the lobby. All those things. Wonderful. Take nothing for granted. See the support you have, and then you'll stop saying you don't have any. I think that's a really important thing. See the support you have. Be thankful for the support you have. And if you don't see it, your eyes aren't open. And I'm not just talking about the your eyeballs. I'm talking about your awareness. Number five, gratitude enhances empathy and lessens aggression. Isn't that something? A grateful heart is a nonviolent heart. Gratitude doesn't just inspire us to empathize and help others, but it also causes us to be less aggressive. How could we be aggressive with someone that we're all one with? And we are all one. Oh, we have different ideologies, different beliefs. Some people are very closed to love, and some people are very open to love. But are we all cut of the same energetic cloth, except for our belief systems that separate us? Yeah. Do I want you to invite the person that is ungrateful and mean and violent into your home? No, that's just not smart. That's another gift from God, which is discernment, that you pray for them, you care for them, but you keep them over there. They don't match you, do they, energetically? Number 6, gratitude improves self-esteem. The relationships among gratitude, self-esteem, depression, and suicidal ideation were studied among graduate students. And there was a definite link. Gratitude had a positive direct effect on all of the factors of self-esteem, depression, and suicide ideation. Isn't that incredible? I want to put something else on the table here. Oh, that wasn't good. Excuse me, I just did something and my Blog Talk Radio just went off. I hope I didn't lose somebody. Let's see. Nope, we're still on. Okay. I want to put something else metaphysically, energetically on the table. Here we go. And this is about self-esteem. I think this is really important. Let's take it out of the frame of human beings for a minute, even though that's what I'm talking about. Let's talk about a pebble path. We've all seen those, gravel path, pebble path. Let's just see, talk about that. Or the beach and grains of sand. I want you to think energetically now with me. Go with each grain of sand, each pebble in that path or piece of gravel is important for what it participates in and holds up, right? If each grain of sand, if each pebble, if each piece of gravel did not hold up its end, if many of them did not, there would be no path, there would be no beach. There would be nothing. I think that's an important analogy for human beings, because here's what I believe. I believe that all of us are holding up some part of life in our way. I think we're all holding it up. I think the happiest ones of us, the most fulfilled ones of us, are seeing how we can help the most. That's you. That's why you're listening to a show like this. Does that make us better than or less than another pebble on the path? Absolutely not. It just means we're one of those pebbles and we have a job to do. I don't know about you, but I'm very grateful to be that. I'm really grateful to just hold up my part of this, no matter how big or how small, no matter how much I succeed or how much I fail. I'm doing my best to be the best pebble I can be on the path, just like all those other pebbles. Why isn't that all right? It is. As an individual in this world, my darlings, you are holding up your part. God is there helping you because God is all you are, the energy of you. Whether you are using the God energy for the lack, to see the lack of everything or the fullness of everything, it's your choice because it's in your mind, because both are available to you. How we get from one to the other is to get you through those old issues that you had in your childhood. You have to be aware of them. I'm supposed to take you into a deeper level of how they're all connected, so you can finally go, I don't need to believe that anymore. I see why I did it. But it's okay. I can believe other things. So. Eventually, in surrender, you come to the idea, you come to the absolute knowing, more than an idea, that everything is perfect. That everything is perfect. Your failures, your successes, your times that you were petty and small, the times you were generous and kind, everything was perfect. There wasn't a wasted moment in the whole blooming thing. I have to draw exception when you come into my office and say, oh, my life is such a waste, I'm such a waste. Nothing. Nothing has been a waste. You are not looking. You are not seeing. You're not aware of the whole thing. That's my job. Help you be aware of the whole thing. You and your part of this, you as the pebble on the path, I as another pebble, are all part of this. And while we are just another pebble, which is what the ego child mind wants you to believe, we're all doing something highly significant, important, and vital. Tonight only us. But to the world. Energetically, we're holding up our part. That's why, my darlings, you cannot not be a participant here and be happy. It's not going to happen. You are happy because you are contributing to this. You're doing the very best job you know how to do, and you're grateful for the experience. Are you going to have perks along the way? Are you going to have everything you want? Absolutely. But you're going to have to stop believing you don't, and you're not going to. You remember, there are only two issues in the world. You don't care about me, which really means I don't care about myself. And I don't get what I want. They're the universal beliefs in the world. I don't care what religion you are, what nationality you are. Those are universal. Well, you got to get over them if you're going to open to more. You got to realize these things aren't true except in the ego child's mind. It means you've got to take this marvelous divine quest of you from the ego child's mind to the higher self mind. What a wonderful journey. Going on with this, I found another article by Susan Krauss Whitborn. She wrote it for Psychology Today, the magazine. It's called Giving Thanks, : The Benefits of Gratitude, and Why It's Good for Mental Health, which I've got a problem with, you know. I've got a problem with the word mental health because it's mental emotional health is what it always is. Not just mental health, okay? That phrase points us in a poor direction, a direction that doesn't contain the whole information of what we need to look at. Now, as we've seen, gratitude on the whole has a lot to recommend it. She points out a few gratitude traps. Some people feel uncomfortable about being thanked. They get truly embarrassed, dismissing the thanker by insisting it was nothing, though clearly the thanker felt otherwise. Do you realize how damn insulting that is? Do you realize you're insulting the other person when you don't accept a compliment, when you don't accept thanks for something? You're actually dismissing how the other person feels. You have no right to do that. But of course, you're only thinking about yourself when you do that, guys. It's the self-absorption I'm talking about that's part of the ego child's mind. Sweeties, the way it really works, the way the flow works, is that you accept thanks, that you accept gratitude, and that you are grateful and give it to other people. It's a flow state. It isn't all about you and whether you feel like you're an imposter or not. That's ridiculous. Somebody's thanked you. Say thank you for them thanking you and move on. She also pointed out that there are also some uncomfortable aspects about thank yous when it comes to thank you presents that are overly generous or could be interpreted as bribes, and that's not what we're talking about here, right? We're just talking about the higher aspects of being grateful. We can't have it all be about you and have you have a happy life. You have to surrender. Guys, I want to put something on the table. Just because you don't acknowledge something like a gift or doesn't mean you're not grateful. It just means that there's a little faux pas involved, that you haven't done what society thinks you should do. Those are two different things. Are you really grateful, whether you acknowledge it or not? Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't acknowledge it because it's the nice thing to do. I haven't always done that. But that doesn't mean you're not grateful. Because what's really important here is, what does it mean to you? Are you grateful or not? Some people actually don't have the words. Some people are so overwhelmed, they don't have the words. They don't know. They are not word people, maybe. There are two parts to emotion. You've heard me say this before if you've listened to the show. One is feeling. Are you suppressing your feelings? If you are suppressing your feelings, we need to work on that. Because you're never going to be happy suppressing your feelings. How can you feel great passion? How can you feel great drive? How can you feel great excitement? How can you have any follow-through if you're not feeling everything you should be feeling? But the second part to emotion is expressing it. And this is where creative aspect comes in, which is so exciting and something that a lot of unaware parents leave out of their instruction for children. They leave out how to be creative with your feelings, how to express thank you, how to express gratitude, how to express. So the parent that's saying, thank them for the lollipop, is kind of hitting it. Although they may care more about how they appear as a mother than the real spiritual aspects of this. Nevertheless, the teaching is there. You've received something. Be grateful. Important. I thought this was an interesting point in this article. She says, there are always exceptional circumstances involving acts of extreme altruism. Heroes are known as the people who put their needs, the needs of others, above their own. I'm not talking about sacrifice, by the way. Sacrifice is the ego version of that. Altruism is the higher self version of that. You understand? Same energy. These cases put in, and I love this phrase, in bolder relief, the fact that a hero doesn't expect thank you notes or little gift baskets as acknowledgement for his or her sacrifice. I don't like the word sacrifice. I would say for his or her altruism, kindness. Real life heroes don't expect anything in return. I know of a father and son who are estranged, and I encourage that client to continue to be in touch and say, I love you, because it's true. Don't want anything from him. Don't care if you get anything in return. Sometimes he gets letters that are vilifications of his past performance as a dad. What do you do with that? You realize that's not about you. It's about them, and you pray all the harder for them and hold a space for them for a happier life. Okay. There's a psychologist that's done a great deal of work on gratitude, Robert Emmons, E-M-M-O-N-S, and Michael McCullough. And they point out that gratitude is, and I believe this as well, the forgotten factor in happiness research. Yeah. The benefits of expressing gratitude range from better physical health to improved mental alertness. People who are expressing gratitude are also more likely to offer emotional support to others. Why? Because they're doing everything they need to do for themselves. You don't have anything to give anybody else until you take care of you. And that sounds selfish. It's another example of it's selfish in the ego child's mind, self-absorption, and the higher self mind, it's the right thing to do. You take care of you so you can take care of others. You live a balanced life so you can help in some way and add value to the whole. She has some ideas of how you can bring this into your life and increase what she calls your gratitude quotient. Let's see, she, did I? Who's writing this? I think this was just an article. No, there we are. Susan Krause Whitmore, that's right. Gotta get the sex right. So her ideas, in addition to mine that I gave you earlier, are if someone thanks you, accept the thanks graciously. Let the person know you appreciate being thanked. That's all you need to do, really. That's what you need to do, but you need to mean it sincerely. See, people are... So, we give lip service to everything, don't we? I'm so grateful. Thank you so much. But are we grateful? Guys, I'm very impressed with people who have a lot of adulation coming to them, who just say thank you to everyone, to each person. Thank you. Do you realize that really is a base of charisma? When you really see the person in front of you and you are saying, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Me to you. 2 seconds. All I have to give, but thank you. I've known people like that, that really see the person in front of them. The problem is many people lose that. The more people tell them they're great, the more they start believing that instead of the kindness and the return and the loop of energy. The less they are participating in that. Don't do that, guys. Keep the loop going. Give, receive, give and receive. That's what it's about. That's as simple as the loop is, isn't it? Number two, she says, if you find that difficult, being really grateful, just saying thank you. She asked that you, and I think this is a good point, consider why gratitude makes you uncomfortable. Do you not feel worthy of being thanked? She knows there is a subgroup of people whose own fulfillment was hampered by their lack of faith in their own worth. Well, guys, they didn't start there. It started when you were small. It started before you had a cognitive thought. Chronic feelings of inadequacy can make it difficult for people to benefit from any thanks that come their way. And I do agree with that. But this goes back to what your mother was experiencing in the womb, what you came into life to learn, what your first few years were like, and the gathering of evidence that supports the things I just mentioned that are, by the way, the lack of God, right? Come on. We have to get through it. Number three, she says, look for small things to be grateful for. And I say, yes. You know, one of my favorite exercises in the whole world, and I do it from time to time, and I absolutely love it, is resolve this day or tomorrow, whatever you're going to do, resolve in one day to do nothing but be grateful for every little moment in it. Now, there are some things that we must acknowledge at the beginning of the day that we're grateful for. I am grateful for breathing the air and that my lungs work and my body is working. I'm grateful for the things I see. I'm grateful for that. Now, absolutely. Then look at the next step. It's sunshining today. I'm grateful for that. The air is crisp with fall. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for being back at work and talking to you. I'm grateful for a letter that I have an idea that I've got to write. I'm grateful for this house. I'm grateful for the system that created this house, because the system is God. I'm grateful for the energy that I realized that I needed to correct and say, I look for the perfect house. I accept it, dear God. Bring it to me. I'm grateful for the people that were all involved in this. I'm grateful for good advice. I'm grateful for this desk. I'm grateful for the furniture that was here. I'm grateful for the furniture I brought in. I'm grateful for the clutter, because I know one day it will be beautiful. I'm grateful for the little aches and pains. Right now, my back hurts. I've lifted a lot of stuff. I'm grateful for the energy. I'm grateful for the corrections that my back will make so that I'm out of pain. I'm grateful for my bathtub. In other words, guys, I can't stop this. I'm grateful for it all, and you can't stop it either once you begin, but you have that attitude of gratitude, as Jay said, as you go along. Michelle, hey, darling. Oh, aren't you sweet? Thank you. She says, I'm grateful that I'm better than I was, thanks to you. No, it's actually thanks to you and me. I'm helping and put some information on the table that you already knew, girlfriend. You just needed to be reminded of. You know, I think common sense sometimes is not so common. In all of us, we get distracted. We forget. Oh, that's wonderful, Jay. Jay said, grateful energy is higher than thankful energy. And I do think that's true. And I think it's because of that element of surrender, which is the highest of all. We surrender to God, the creator of it all. But never forget that God, the creator of it all, is within and without. It's the Trinity, you know? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost being everything outside of you that is not you, but is God. The Father being the, and you know, call it Father, Mother, I don't care, but it's the energy that is within you, that is you as God. And it can, and you cannot disparage and disqualify the fact that the thing that makes the inner and the outer work is the human experience. Jesus held that place for you as the Son, but you're the Son. You're in that place in your own life, you see? Good. She goes on to say, don't fret about gratitude infractions. So, you know, I'm sorry. We all feel guilty for not writing the notes we did because we were too busy or we were too distracted or we were too this or too that. Guys, are you really grateful? And if you're not, work on it. Because that's what it's all about. And if somebody forgets to thank you, why are you ruminating on it? Was it a conditional gift you didn't really mean? You wanted something for it? That's not true generosity, is it? You get it? If you didn't do the nice thing, okay. Yeah, we'll do it next time when you have more time and energy. Come on, guys. It's like beating yourself with a wet noodle. You're still beating yourself. With something that doesn't matter, over something that doesn't matter. Number five, she goes on to say, when you're writing a thank you note or when you're doing something, you can keep it short and sweet and easy. You don't have to write an epic poem. I think a lot of times we are so overwhelmed by people's generosity. I know I am. That sometimes it locks us up. I realize it about myself now. You know? Why not make it easy? You won't get those thank you notes written if you make everyone an epic. You know, be just sincere. Sometimes we can do nothing but call on the phone or email something. I say do it. A sincere thank you for today. Just what we all needed. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, I think I have said almost everything in this article. No, I want to talk to you about this. What is appealing about gratitude is that the interventions for ingratitude are pretty straightforward. One of the nice things you can do, for heaven's sakes, is before you go to bed at night to list 3 to 5 things in your head that you're grateful for that have happened. Go to bed with the attitude of gratitude. Wake up in the morning with the attitude of gratitude. It's as easy as listing something like that. List it. Put it down on paper or in your mind so that you can drift off to sleep knowing that you're in this flow. Now I'm going to repeat myself one more time. Real gratitude is surrendering to something